You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Now it's time for Tracy Martin from the New Zealand First Party.
Kia ora, Tracy. How are you today?
I'm not too bad, thanks, Shemina. Parliament has risen. I'm in my Warkworth office waiting to go to a political panel.
Oh, fantastic. Not having to stay in Wellington for a little bit longer until post-election.
Sleeping in my own bed at night, it's a great thing.
What a luxury. So earlier this week we kicked off our election focus coverage where we're looking at different key policy areas leading up to the 23rd of September. So we're doing environment this week and we're talking to each of our political party representatives throughout the week about what environmentally focused policies their party has on offer. So Tracy, what's New Zealand First's take on the state of the country's environment at the moment?
Right. Well, there's obviously several issues with regard to the environment. I mean, you were just talking about one of them, and that is water. The clarity of our water, our riverways and our streams and so on and so forth. I suppose the other thing with regard to that is the Resource Management Act and how any sort of amendment to that would affect the New Zealand environment. Climate change, how are we going to manage that and its effect on our environment? Fresh water use, taking away, who's using what and who's paying for which and that sort of thing. So I guess which one do you want to start with, really?
Well, because I'm also wondering as well, can the government play a much bigger role in the state of New Zealand's environment than it currently is?
Well, I think you'll find that most of the opposition parties believe that the government can. And so we're talking about any government. It's only the government has the resources. If we talk about, let's talk about our commitment to Paris and our commitment to get to carbon zero by 2050. Only a government has the resources to actually assist your population to shift its practice. So that's its practice around what vehicles does it drive, what food does it grow, how many trees will be planted, what land is going to be available for what. So only your government has that capacity, and it must use that capacity to shift some of our current practice, but at the same time protect citizens.
And so I was also wondering as well, so in terms of, you mentioned climate change, New Zealand First is proposing scrapping the emissions trading scheme. Why is this?
The international emissions trading scheme hasn't worked, and actually I think you'll find that the Green Party and Labor agree with us on this, that the emissions trading scheme became something that some people got wealthy off, but it didn't actually do what it was designed to do, which was lower emissions. So from New Zealand First perspective, what we're talking about is, I'm the Deputy Chair of Globe New Zealand, so which is a cross-party group that has been working with, together to actually come up with pathways for New Zealand to meet our carbon zero by 2050. So New Zealand First is committed to those pathways to get us to carbon zero by 2050, but we're more interested in having a conversation that MOTU, which is the MOTU report that came out of Victoria University, about an internal ETS and how we use that to control our own environment and what we're doing here, as opposed to participating in a global ETS in the first instance that really just sort of streams off cash somewhere else.
The government does seem very committed to the ETS, though. I mean, they recently undertook a huge review of it, proposed changes to the scheme earlier this year. Do you think it's just not even worth bothering with continuing with those changes, just scrapping it and starting over again? Or should we kind of see this through, see how the changes announced earlier this year take effect and then make a decision?
We don't really have time, to be perfectly frank. We don't have time to see how this might work out. I think what Globe New Zealand's Vivid report, followed up by the MOTU report, and I just had another report that Kennedy Graham and I funded from our budget, pricing out the, a couple of those pathways from Vivid to take us to carbon neutral. We don't have the time to tinker around at the edges. So from our perspective, we would rather focus our energies, the cross-party energies, on having a good strong look at what the MOTU proposition, which is the internal New Zealand ETS, leave that secondary part, which is the international purchasing power if we can't meet our own obligations until later down the track, but start with ourselves.
And so New Zealand First also proposes a transition from fossil energy to renewables. Is this a complete transition?
As much as possible. I'm going to say yes, but it's the period of time over which you make that transition, isn't it? So it's how, and again, this is where we come back to that first part of the conversation, which was only a government has the capacity and the resources to help your citizenry shift from dependence upon non-sustainable to sustainable. And it's how fast can you do it is probably the question.
And so let's quickly look at water. So it's pretty universally agreed upon that work needs to be done to improve the state of New Zealand's fresh water. But people differ with their ideas and how to go about doing this. What's New Zealand First's vision when it comes to water?
Well, I think our vision is the same as everybody else, that we want to be proud of. That we want to be able to say with hand on heart that we have, you know, we're clean green. We want to have the capacity for our citizens to swim in rivers and lakes, and kids to be able to play in the local stream. So, but I guess where we differ is the Nick Smith put out a statement about they're going to fence off, you know, waterways this many kilometres worth of fencing and so on and so forth. There are certainly some of our waterways that can be fenced off, but there are others of our waterways that would be a ridiculous statement. There are waterways that need to have riparian planting. But at the same time, we need to make sure that the riparian plantings don't interfere with, one, the local sort of fish population, the native fish population, or create flooding issues for other areas. Because we've had some of that up in my area. The riparian plantings have led to massive siltation, which has killed off native fish, and it's flooded out areas. So I guess what we're saying is we want those decisions and those understandings as close to the ground as possible in each particular area, rather than anybody making a one-size-fits-all statement about what we need to do.
And so just finally, in New Zealand First's environmental policy statements online, you really emphasise the importance of balancing economic progress with environmental protection. Is it possible to do this, though? Because, I mean, some might see these two as being almost inherently opposed.
Yeah, and that's where Winston often refers to Scandinavia. Scandinavian nations have some of the best environmental policies, some of the most pristine environments, and yet they still practice extraction. So what we would like to do is to go over and actually take the lessons that the Scandinavian nations use, recognising that we're talking about minimising extraction, but there will always need to be some extraction, because there are certain things that are made out of oil that we use on a day-to-day basis. So it's not just what we pump into our cars. But the Scandinavians, we believe, have got the model, and New Zealand needs to be looking more closely at how they have managed to balance their environment with their economy.
Great. Well, thank you for joining us this week, Tracy. We'll chat to you again next week.
Thanks, Sharina. Bye.
Bye.
That was Tracy Martin from the New Zealand First Party. The Wire.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.